Good evening. Welcome, everybody, to the Simple Actions Group of Alcoholics Anonymous. My name is David, and I am an alcoholic.
Hey, David.
For those who care to join us, let's open this meeting with a moment of silence to do with as you wish, followed by the Serenity Prayer. God.
Grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference.
Amen. The alcoholics, the Simple Actions Group wishes to extend a warm welcome to all in attendance this evening. These premises are non-smoking. Our group is welcome to use this room and the restrooms exclusively, which are across the main foyer and up a small flight of stairs. At this time, please silence your cell phones. Also, we respectfully ask those present, please refrain from unnecessary moving around the room. This will keep distractions and disturbances to a minimum and allow everyone to listen uninterrupted. This group practices the spiritual foundations of anonymity, singleness of purpose, and effective sponsorship. As a group, we believe that Alcoholics Anonymous provides alcoholics with a set of clear directions on precisely how to recover from the illness of alcoholism on the basis of simple actions. These actions are contained in the book, Alcoholics Anonymous. It is the purpose of this meeting to carry that clear message and to focus on precisely how to recover from the illness of alcoholism on the basis of AA's simple actions. The AA preamble says, Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of men and women who share their experience, strength, and hope with each other that they may solve their common problem and help others to recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for membership is a desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for AA membership. We are self-supporting through our own contributions. AA is not allied with any sect, denomination, politics, organization, or institution, does not wish to engage in any controversy, neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and help other alcoholics achieve sobriety. The format of this meeting is an open, big book step study. As a group, we recognize the power of one alcoholic identifying with another alcoholic, sharing their experience, strength, and hope from the book Alcoholics Anonymous. We encourage you to engage in conversation and ask questions after the meeting pertaining to the step discussed tonight. Tonight, you're here on a good night. It's a threefer night. We're going to do steps 5, 6, and 7. And if you would help me welcome our wonderful panel this evening, we have Maggie and Leslie. So step 5 says admitted to God, to ourselves, to another human being, the exact nature of our wrongs. Step 6 says when ready, we're entirely ready to have God remove these defects of character. Step 7 says humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. We're going to start on page 72, and then I'm going to stop reading you to death. Page 72, having made our personal inventory, what shall we do about it? We've been trying to get a new attitude, a new relationship with our Creator, and to discover the obstacles in our path. We have admitted certain defects. We've ascertained in a rough way what the trouble is. We have put our finger on the weak items in our personal inventory. Now these are about to be cast out. This requires action on our part, which when completed will mean that we have admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our defects. This brings us to the fifth step in the program of recovery, as mentioned in the previous chapter. This is perhaps difficult, especially discussing our defects with another person. We think we've done well enough admitting these things to ourselves. There's doubt about that. In actual practice, we usually find a solitary self-appraisal insufficient. Many of us thought it necessary to go much further. We will be more reconciled to discussing ourselves with another person when we see good reasons why we should do so. The best reason is first. If we skip this vital step, we may not overcome drinking. Time after time, newcomers have tried to keep to themselves certain facts about their lives, trying to avoid this humbling experience. They have turned to easier methods. Almost invariably, they got drunk. Having persevered with the rest of the program, they wondered why they fell. We think the reason is that they never completed their house cleaning. They took inventory all right, but hung on to some of the worst items in stock. They only thought they had lost their egoism and fear. They only thought they had humbled themselves. but they had not learned enough of humility, fearlessness, and honesty in the sense that we find it necessary until they told someone else all their life story. Maggie?
Hey, I'm Maggie. I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Maggie. So
I'll introduce myself. My last drink was on June 23rd of 2014. I have a sponsor. I have a home group. I sponsor other women. I feel like that's the gist of the check-in, right? And when I got to the fifth step, I was so ready. I was not one of these people who was shying away from it, didn't want to tell anyone. I basically walked in the rooms and wanted to just jump to the fifth step. Like, skip even the fourth step. Let's just talk. I'm sure I'll come up with it. It'll all come out. Because I had just felt like I'd been carrying around so much weight and shame, and I wanted the relief. And when I looked at the steps on the wall in those early meetings, there were several that I didn't want to do. Any of the ones that, well, I guess this one does say God in it, doesn't it? It's admitted to God. No. Well, if it had to do with God, I had hesitations. But this sounded like, oh, I'm going to get some relief. It's sort of like confession, right? Like you tell somebody all the bad things and then you feel better. I was not terribly interested in this humility, fearlessness, or honesty necessarily as traits I wanted to emulate, but I wanted the relief. And so I really rushed to it. And before I even did my fourth step, I was going to my sponsor like, can I just tell you this? Can I just tell you this? Can I just tell this other person in my life about this? Because it's eating me up. And I have this line underlined here on page 72. In actual practice, we usually find a solitary self-appraisal insufficient. And my note there is, because I don't know what is good for me. So that's why I have to share it with somebody else. Is because I don't know how to interpret all of these things. Whatever is on my fourth step, whatever I have been through or done, I don't know what to do with that. And if I think I do, it's usually pointing me in the wrong direction because my compass is not very good. So that's part of why I have to share it with another human being. Yeah, that's all I have on that part. Thank you.
Are you sure? I'm Leslie. I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Leslie.
Hello. My sobriety date is May 31st, 2008. And I feel like it sounds like I just made that up, but that's the truth. I just can't believe I'm sober still today. I can't believe, like, I was given that grace and that I've been able to hold on to it, you know? And I think it's from taking a fifth step. I've taken numerous fifth steps. I remember the very first one I did, it was on a piece of paper about this big, and there was only like four things written on it. I was like, mom, dad, sister, check, done. And my sponsor at the time was just like, whoo, you know? And then tried it again. But for me, I actually had to go write a life story because I just did not understand what the big book was trying to tell me with those columns like that. Like those lines, that mess, it was just too much for me. And my sponsor was like, all right, then start at your first memory. I was like, I can do that, you know? And I didn't care. I mean, I was just writing. That was like the easiest thing for me. And I think for me, it's a good thing I'm not the brightest star in this room, because I didn't realize I was about to tell her everything that was wrong with me. You know, I thought it was going to be like, this is what the world did. You know, I didn't know we were going to end up talking about my defects and my part. Like, I didn't skip ahead to that, you know. And if I did, I just, like, completely missed it, you know. And I think for me, like, none of this was humbling. Like, honestly, the first time I did this, I was just doing it to go through the motions. I hadn't accepted I was an alcoholic yet, but, you know, I was doing it because that's what they did for me. Like, my sponsors, I really did have, like, a little crew help with me in my early sobriety. They just like kept me moving because that's what I needed to do. And like years into it, they looked at me, they were like, God, we wanted to tell you to go drink so bad, but we knew you would. And we were scared of what that was going to look like. I was like, good call, because I would have done it. You know, I remember reading in the Big Book when it was like, go try some controlled drinking. I thought me and my sponsor were going to go down to the bar and be like, yeah, here we go. Like, bring them, line them up. Like, that's how sick I was when I first got here. You know, but I was willing to do that life story. And I mean, I just like wrote it and it came out however it was supposed to come out. I don't remember, like, there was no big like secrets when I went to go do it. And I remember I called her when I was done thinking like, all right, in the next like week and a half, we'll get together. And I called her and I was like, hey, I think I'm done. And she goes, all right, I'll be there in 10 minutes. And I was like, oh, yipe, you know, like I can't get out of it now. Like, she's got me. But I'm really grateful. Like, I think the only tool I had was, honestly, for me, anger. Like, I was just like angry and I was like just doing it, gritting my teeth, but I was honest with all that anger and everything. Like, they would, what's up with the lights? Someone who like isn't part of this church. Like, I was angry, but I was doing it and I was as honest as I could be, but like the willingness just kind of, it wasn't there. But then like once I was over the anger, like the willingness came. Like, I would complain about what she had me doing or whatever I was writing or uncovering, you know, and then I'd do it, you know. But I don't know, that's, there's more about the fifth step, so I'll just stop right there.
Okay. So other people notice that the lights are funny?
Freaking out up here, man.
Just thought I was having one.
It's coming back to me, bro.
We're going to continue on page 73. More than most people, the alcoholic leads a double life. He is very much the actor. To the outer world, he presents his stage character, the one he likes his fellows to see. He wants to enjoy a certain reputation, but knows in his heart he doesn't deserve it. The inconsistency is made worse by the things he does on his sprees. Coming to his senses, he is revolted at certain episodes he vaguely remembers. These memories are a nightmare. He trembles to think someone might have observed him. As fast as he can, he pushes these memories far inside himself. He hopes they will never see the light of day. He is under constant fear and tension. That makes for more drinking. Maggie?
Oh, boy. This makes me think, like, double life? Is that all? I feel like it was quadruple, maybe more than that. And these paragraphs make me think of early on in my drinking, how I led a double life. I started drinking when I was very, very young. I was 11. And this idea that this constant fear of tension that makes for more drinking, that's really how I felt to begin with. I had this constant fear and tension. And that's, you know, why when I started drinking, I was like, oh my God, it all went away. I have no more fear and tension, so I'm gonna keep drinking. So by middle school, I needed to bring a bottle of liquor and a Dr. Pepper bottle to get through the day. And that is when the double life began. Because it was, I mean, it was really in those younger years where I saw my worst consequences. And part of that is because being so young, I was really able to fly under the radar. Like, nobody is looking around at a 12-year-old, really, or most people aren't looking around at a 12-year-old doing the things that I was doing. It didn't occur to them. And so I got away with a lot in many ways and got myself into many scrapes in other ways, and just lied about it. That's what this means to me. The alcoholic leads a double life. That to me just says the alcoholic lies a lot. And I lied a lot. And what that looked like when I was young was, you know, I got a DUI at 9 a.m. and then I went and starred in the school play. Or, you know, I robbed a convenience store and I was the prom queen. And what that looked like later in life when, closer to when I was gonna get sober was, you know, my husband thought I was sick all the time. And my work thought I was sick all the time. I was going, and I would go to doctors to back up these fake illnesses that were really just hangovers, intoxication, pitiful and incomprehensible demoralization. I would lie because I didn't have it in me to get out of bed and say that I was ill. That's what my untreated alcoholism looks like. And that's what it looks like when I'm not drinking, too, is that fear and tension starts to creep back in. And without a program, I don't know what to do with that. I need to make it go away. And that's why I drink. I need to make it go away. I'm constitutionally incapable of being uncomfortable. And I need a program to help me cope with that, to remind me that being uncomfortable isn't going to kill me. I can be very uncomfortable now. I'm uncomfortable right now. talking in front of all of you people and wondering what you're thinking. But that's not going to kill me. And I don't need to have a drink. This is the one he likes his fellows to see. It really just depended on who I was talking to, what I wanted you to see. Because if I was talking to like some of my little, you know, like street rat friends, like I wanted you to think I was like really bad, right? But if I was talking to somebody else, I want to make sure that like, oh no, I'm not that bad. And I can be like that in recovery. Like some of my other friends who have lower bottoms than me, I'm like, oh yeah, me too, yeah, me too. Or people who, you know, have higher bottoms than me, I'm like, oh, well, I never did that, right? And so that's still what it can look like for me if I'm not working a program where I know I don't need that outside validation. My validation comes from my higher power if I'm working a program. That's a daily reprieve. It varies day to day. For me, my program is a series of recommitments. It hasn't been linear, and it varies within the week. So that's all.
Thanks, Maggie. It's me again. Mm-hmm. I love this, and I love how you read it, because I can just like feel the hopelessness, and I can remember how I felt. Like, this was me at the end of my drinking, you know? And like, my ism is like, what? I didn't rob a store and then become prom queen. I'm not good enough to be up here. My store is not that cool. Is that true? I would love to hear that later. Like, I'm just like, oh, I don't have a story like that. And what I just remembered, I remember the first time I was asked to speak. I was like 4 months sober. I don't know what they were thinking. And they asked me, and I was like, let me consult my sponsor, you know? And then she was like, yeah, you can do it. And I was like, oh. And then my next thought was, maybe I should go drink more so I can be interesting. You know, like, I was just like, I need more, because I was like the young kid in that town. You know, I didn't drink. I showed up in my ripped pants, and I was wearing shoes and a shirt that night, you know. But that was like me in the beginning. And I still have that ism, like, I'm not good enough, you know. I'm not even worried about what they're thinking. I'm like, everybody's thinking about these lights right now. But, like, at the end of my drinking, I just, honestly, I have no idea what I look like. I blacked out all the time, and I loved it. I remember being in my early 20s doing that experiment where I wanted to be a fancy drinker. Like, okay, I'm at home, and I've got my beer, and I've got my wine, and I've got my whiskey, and I'm going to drink all three of them before I go out to the bar. Because one day there will be a time in my life when I'm at a very nicely set table, and I'm going to need to have that flight, you know, and look like I can handle my stuff. Like, I just wanted to be fancy. And then, like, I remember in that phase, or whatever you want to call it, like, I was just like, I can't wait to black out. Like, I hate my life. I didn't even hate my life. I just hated myself. You know, I just, ugh, you know, like, I couldn't look at myself in the mirror. I couldn't even look at you in the eye. Like, I couldn't even look at you, like, in your chest. It was, like, straight up feet and toes and, like, floors. That's all I ever saw for, like, years. And like for me, that was like the end of my drinking. Like there was a time where I was really concerned about like, oh my God, what are you doing that blackout? I never sounded like that, so I don't know why. I think I did. But like I was like, God, what did I do last night? You know, like I got a new bruise. I probably got a new dent in the car. Where is my car? You know, maybe I should call Brenda and apologize. Yeah, that sounds like a good plan. You know, and I would do that. I did that for like months. I would call people who I thought I saw or offended or like owed something to. And, you know, I'd do that fake, like, hey, man, I'm sorry, you know, see you tonight. Like, I'm going to need a ride, you know. That's really what I was doing, was just trying to cover it so they could be like, oh, she's a sweet girl, you know. We'll give her something else tonight. We'll give her another ride, you know. And then I just got, like, tired of it. I got, like, so tired of being that fake, I guess, or just whatever kind of front I was putting on, and I just didn't care. I think that's when I was like, oh, my God. This is gonna be my life, because I don't know how to not drink now. You know, like it was just like a thing all the time. I remember when one time I went to go carry a wine glass back to my room, and I stopped right before, like right as I got in the door, I was like, oh, I could have a problem if I go to bed with a glass of wine. Let me finish it and put it back on the counter. You know, I remember that. It was like it stopped me in my tracks, and I remember that. I was like 20 something. That was like a long time ago for me right now. Like, I could like feel that, and like that's like my bottom is forgetting which toothbrush was mine when I had a roommate, you know, and like wrecking my grandma's car because she was letting me borrow it, and I parked it into a body of water one evening and got it towed out the next day, and I thought I got all of the water sucked out of it. I didn't, so it really smelled bad. And my friends called me out on it, but I had a diesel mechanic as a friend. So we like CSI'd that thing. We took the seats out, we took the carpet out, we like let it dry, we sucked all the water out of it. And I rode around with like no floorboard in the car for like a week. And all I was praying was like, hey God, don't let my grandma need a ride. You know, don't let anybody else get in this car, because all it was the bottom. And it was so loud, and I was just so, like, I was just trying to cover up my drinking. You know, went back to my buddy JD's shop, and we took the chairs back out. We put the carpet back in once it was dry, put a lot of air fresheners in there, put the chairs back in, and, oh, wait, we signed our name to the bottom of the car first, and then we put everything back together. And, like, that's honestly what the end of my drinking looked like, was, like, how can I cover up all this madness that's going on, you know? And it's not even that bad. Like, I'm sure we've all parked our car in a body of water, you know? Like, check, prom queen, maybe half check for some of us. Like, I don't know. Like, tripping while you're at the prom, a super check. But like, oh my God, I just remember being like, this is my life and there's no solution. You know, there's no way out of this, and I'm just like, I'm done, you know? And it's not the things I did. Like, I didn't care, honestly, if I offended you, your boyfriend, your wife, your sister, whoever. Like, I'm just like, I don't like how I feel. You know, I didn't think it was about the actions. I didn't think, you know, that fifth step was gonna be what it was when I, like, wrote it all down. Like, I thought those were, like, all excuses. Like, I drank because of these things, you know? I realized, like, I drank because I love it, and I can't stop. You know, I would drive my car into a body of water, you know, just with oops. But, like, honestly, what I meant to say was, if I could drink today and not have consequences and feelings, like, I probably would, you know? But I don't know. That's just me. That actually scares the crap out of me. And I'm so grateful that I realized, you know, my bottom was like, I don't know what toothbrush is mine, you know, because I found a solution here in Alcoholics Anonymous. You know, I fought it and fought it, and I don't know, I'm just like so grateful to know that and to like feel myself in this book now. I remember reading it and was like, la la la, what? You know, this isn't me, it's an old man talking, you know? But like, I find myself in this book so much, and I feel it, because for me, it was so important to feel like I was a part of something. You know, because I never felt a part of anything, my family, my second grade class, whatever, you know, I was never a part of. But like now, oh my God, I have a family, and it is so cool, and it's you guys, I'm talking about you guys. And like, me moving up here and like the people that are in my life now, it's like, I was just given little angels, and it's awesome, and I hope you know you are one of them. And that is so cool, and I am just so grateful. I'm about to cry, so I'm done. Thank you.
Thanks, Heather. We'll continue on page 75. When we decide who is to hear our story, we waste no time. We have a written inventory, and we are prepared for a long talk. We explain to our partner what we are about to do and why we have to do it. He should realize that we are engaged upon a life and death errand. Most people approached in this way will be glad to help. They will be honored by our confidence. We pocket our pride and go to it, illuminating every twist of character, every dark cranny of the past. Once we have taken this step, withholding nothing, we are delighted. We can look the world in the eye. We can be alone at perfect peace and ease. Our fears fall from us. We begin to feel the nearness of our Creator. We may have had certain spiritual beliefs, but now we begin to have a spiritual experience. The feeling that the drink problem has disappeared will often come strongly. We feel we are on the broad highway, walking hand in hand with the spirit of the universe. Maggie?
So I read this. I read all this fifth step stuff before I actually did my fifth step with my sponsor, who, as you can see, it says here, your partner. It doesn't say anything about it being a sponsor. I don't think it says sponsor in this book. So I've always found that to be interesting. But I think doing it with a sponsor is important. I think bringing things to your sponsor generally is really important. Rather than, like, I have an inner circle of sober women that I bring things to. But generally speaking, when it's something big, they're like, girl, talk to your sponsor. Because why? Because they know, because they're the same way, that maybe I'm going to tell you this version because I know you're going to give me this feedback. And maybe I'm going to tell you this version and maybe tell you, like, it has this filter on it. Like, it's all generally the same story, but I bring it to different people to get a different response. And the people in my life who generally I'm bringing this stuff to, we're pretty good programs, and so they'll call me on it and be like, okay, we've talked about this enough, it's time for you to talk to your sponsor. Like, game over. So that was kind of an aside, but I read these paragraphs before actually disclosing my whole fourth step to my sponsor, and I walked away feeling very disappointed. Because I had this really burning bush sort of spiritual experience doing the first three steps. I came into the program, I was very non-spiritual, non-religious, non-God anything. I was like very belligerently anti anything that had to do with God. And I had a very powerful first ever spiritual experience. So then reading this, okay, my fears will fall from me. I'll begin to feel the nearness of my Creator. Like, I was like, okay, so this is going to be round two of earth-shattering spiritual experiences. And I finished my fifth step. I disclosed everything. And my sponsor was like, okay, you can go home now. And and I didn't feel like the sky didn't crack open or anything. And I was like, wow, this didn't happen the way that I thought that it should. Where's all the gods and singing angels and stuff? And that was what my experience was. And that's what I needed it to be. I think part of that was me realizing that I had a pretty run-of-the-mill little story. The things that I was afraid to tell my sponsor, the things that I was eager to tell my sponsor. That's really how I came into it, was like, let's start with the bad stuff. I really can't handle holding on to it anymore. And she wasn't shocked or surprised or, you know, disgusted or really anything profound at all. She was just like, okay, next. And I was like, oh, so my story's not that special after all. I never thought that I was like great. I thought quite the opposite, but like I did think that I was exceptionally bad. And I wanted to hang on to that. Like, I was like, yes, this story is exceptional and it's in its horrifyingness. And I didn't get that. I didn't get that, and I didn't get the singing angels. And I just walked away feeling very much like I had missed something. And the beauty of that is that I hadn't missed anything. I just wasn't finished yet. So with that, I will pass.
Thanks, Maggie. You know what I love about Alcoholics Anonymous? That's not my experience. Like, that's yours, you know? And, like, we're allowed to have our different experiences, and that's what it's all about. Because, like, I can't relate to prom queen, you know? But
I should not have said that.
I love it. Like, that's your nickname. You know? But I can relate to, like, all right, make me feel better. This needs to make, like, where is it? You know, like, that's what I want. I want, like, instant gratification. That's what I've always wanted. But, like, David sent me this in an email the other day, and I actually printed it out. You know, I want to be a good AA. And I read this. I was like, is that in the big book? Have I read that? And I was like, I didn't, like, ask my partner to, like, hey, I'm excited to read this to you, bud. Like, I was just like, yep, X that. That's not my experience with that. I was not confident when I went into this. Like, legit. My first real fist step is I call my sponsor. It's like, I'm done. And she's like, I'll be there. And I was like, oh, dear God. You know, we're doing this right now. Like, she knew better than to let me. She wasted no time with this. I didn't pocket any sort of pride when I wrote this story. You know, I was just doing what I was told. But I'll tell you what. That night, I read that thing. I was able to look the world in the eye like I had arrived. I finally felt like I had done something and I wasn't a piece of crap anymore. You know, I wasn't hiding anything. Like, my biggest secret was, and this is so funny, like, I'd been talking for a while. She's like, do you want to take a break? And I'm like, yeah. You know, we took a break and we come back and the first thing I have to read off is my big secret. And I froze. And she was just like, yeah, all right, go ahead. And I was just like, she's like, you got this. And I was just like, I think I'm gay. And she just was like, okay. And then I just, like, kept going. You know, that was my big secret. I think. You know, whatever. That's how I worded it. But then, like, I kept going. The most important thing was she had no reaction. She could have cared less. You know, she probably giggled to herself or wasn't paying attention. You know? And, like, I'm not that special. You know, and I just, like, kept going, and I read the whole rest of the thing, and I remember, like, you know, with my book, which had, like, a sticker of a wine bottle on the front of it, you know, my first notebook, and it did, because I went to Italy right before I got sober, and that's all I did while I was there, but anyways, you know, I was done, and she goes, how do you feel? And in that moment, I had my first spiritual experience. Like, I felt it leave me. Like, the weight, the garbage, it was gone. Like, legit, I was like, you know, I was finally able to breathe for once in my life. And then I said, I think I deserve a drink. I didn't tell her, like, the magic moment I had, but I was like, I think I deserve a drink. And she laughed, and she was like, keep coming back. Now do what else it says, you know? And, like, I'm pretty sure she left the house, and I just, like, stood there in, like, in amazement because of, like, how I felt. You know, that first fifth step was something, you know? And I just took one on 1-3-2020 at my sponsor's house. We prayed before it began, and, you know, I did all the stuff, and I didn't get that. You know, I've never got that from another fifth step. Because for me, like, as I go along, I still have that honesty. Like, all the trash comes out because I don't want that stuff to be so stuffed in there that I have to have that sort of relief. You know, like, I'm grateful for 10 and 11 now, you know, but that's way ahead of this. But I cannot tell you, like, the bond that I had with that lady I did that fifth step with. Like, I get to see her tomorrow, and it is going to be, like, such an honor. You know, because I feel like an adult now, and I can't believe that. Like, I am a sober woman of dignity and grace most of the time. You know, because it's because I saw myself. I saw the child that I was, you know. And and I saw those things that just like ran my life, and I don't have to let that happen now. And like, if I didn't write it down, like if I just like put it out there in the world, like in my head, like it wouldn't mean the same. You know, like I had to see it for me to believe it and feel it. And that is so important for me to like continually like write things down. I'm in a phase right now where I'm having a really hard time praying. So what do I do? My sponsor laughed about it, but it is kind of funny. Like, she's like, you and your letters to God. I'm like, yep, I write letters to God. And that's how I pray right now. And it just like comes on out, you know, and I'm like, all right, well, you know, like it's great. It is such a cool feeling. And I feel like a nerd now, but you know, that's a gift of Alcoholics Anonymous. That's a promise right there. I have peace and ease in my life now because it, like, I don't let that stuff run me anymore. You know, things don't eat my lunch like they used to, you know, and my fears have fallen from me. They're not, like, I'm not scared to death of shadows anymore, you know, where I used to be. I remember being so scared of shadows in kindergarten, you know, or like seeing that person where I think I did something to them, you know, even in sobriety, like, before I got to the amends, like that person was in that fifth step, you know, and when Tony came around the corner, it took my breath away. But there's a step that helps me with that, you know, but that's a later date. Thanks for letting me share.
Right. Stay tuned.
Yeah, stay tuned. More will be revealed.
I think I'm going to put these two step six paragraphs together. Page 75, returning home, we find a place where we can be quiet for an hour. Funny. Carefully reviewing what we have done. We thank God from the bottom of our hearts that we know him better. Taking this book down from our shelf, we turn to the page which contains the 12 steps. Carefully reading the first five proposals, we ask if we have omitted anything, for we are building an arch through which we shall walk a free man at last. Is our work solid so far? Are the stones properly in place? Have we skimped on cement put into the foundation? Have we tried to make mortar without sand? If we can answer to our satisfaction, then we look at step six. We have emphasized willingness as being indispensable. Are we now ready to let God remove from us all the things which we have admitted are objectionable? Can he take them all, every one? If we still cling to something we will not let go, we ask God to help us be willing.
My first fifth step, I didn't really do this part. this returning home, I did it somewhat, and that was just me. Like, I'm just gonna kind of half-ass it. And I kind of half-assed this bit. I took the book and I went to the page with the steps and I didn't, what does it say, take an hour? I didn't take an hour. I think after like maybe 30 minutes, I was like, are you kidding me? I'm supposed to sit here for an hour? And I did not do that. But I stayed sober somehow. So I don't know. I look back and I think, is my work solid so far? Are the stones properly in place and all of that? And besides not being able to sit for an hour, I think back on my first time through the steps and man, yeah, it was solid because I was so very, very desperate the first time I went through the steps. I really didn't understand any of it. And if my sponsor had been like, you know, go stand naked on the sidewalk and read from the big book, I would have been like, okay, well, I have to because otherwise I'm going to drink. That's how scared I was. I really thought that. And now I know I can get away with more than that today, which is somewhat problematic. And in many ways, I think that sobriety gets harder for that reason, because I do know that I don't have to go stand naked and read from the big book. Nobody's going to make me sit for an hour. Like only it's up to me. It's between me and my higher power, man. And that's it. And, this willingness as being indispensable. I had a sponsor who gave me this really awesome passage, which those of you who are close to me, I've probably sent it to you 100 times. That it outlines the difference between trying to be sober, trying to work a program, and being willing. And the difference is always like, how much effort am I putting into this? How tightly are my little claws around this? Or are my hands open, right? Am I open and willing, or am I pushing? And to me, that's the difference between trying to work a program and being willing. Trying to be better, or being willing to have God remove all these things, right? Because I can't do it by myself. I can write the fourth step. I can say the fifth step. I can sit for the whole hour, and I still can't take away my character defects. Try as I might, man, if I could, I would. But I cannot. And so I just have to ask. That's all that I can do. And sometimes I try and do a lot more than that, and that's me pushing instead of just being willing. And that space between the push and the willingness is where humility has to come in, which is more of a step seven concept. But my higher power will take them when she's ready. And I will let go of them when I'm ready. And sometimes I'm not. And especially, I mean, there are some I don't want to let go of. I'm like, really? The self-righteous anger? Do I have to let that one go today? It feels so good. And you know that superiority, I don't want to let go of that. It feels so good. Some of them still feel really good today. And I have to ask that they be taken away. And sometimes they're not. And somebody in the program told me that, you know, maybe they'll never be taken away. And I was aghast. And what they said was that, you know, you put yourself in these situations based on your character defects. Your higher power takes them away so that you can be helpful to someone else. But sometimes it is your defects that put you in situations to help someone else. And so that just reminds me that, man, I don't get to see the whole picture. And when things aren't going my way and I don't have a defect removed when I want it removed, because I want what I want when I want it, that sometimes there's, you know, I don't see the blueprint that we're working from here. So that's all I got.
Thanks, Maggie. Similar experience. That first time she was like, all right, you know, take your time, take your hour, read what it says, you know. And I did it. I read those two paragraphs in record time of like 43 minutes. No, but I read really slow. But I read them and I was like, oh God, now what? You know. And I remember reading those questions. I was like, what is mortar? Like, oh, like just panicking, you know. And I was like, I guess, yeah, okay. You know, and then I finally like calmed down and I fell asleep. Fell right asleep. I honestly think that's a gift of Alcoholics Anonymous now that I look back, because I didn't have that crap weighing me down. I had like, it was gone, and I was like, yep. I woke up the next day crying because I thought I ruined it. I was like, Robin, that was my sponsor name. I was like, I didn't take the full hour. She's like, did you do the stuff? I was like, yeah, and then I fell asleep. She was like, well, okay, then. Now let's write, you know? And she just, like, kept me moving. I was like, okay, I'm all right, you know? Like, I really thought I messed it up. So, again, just took one of these steps. And I remember I was like, all right, I'm going to take this hour. I was super pumped for it. It was whatever time it was, 14. And I was like, all right, hour starts now. Couple hours later, I was like, all right, what time is it? It was only 37. And I was like, oh my God, it hasn't even been 30 minutes. I thought it'd been 2 hours, you know? And I was like, ugh, you know? And I just like sat there. There's just this quiet time is not my thing, you know? But thank God I knew I didn't ruin it. The point is I am willing to try to do this, you know? And I heard a speaker say this about 6 and 7 one time. He was like, well, he's super country. He's like, if there's supposed to be more in Big Book. I was like, oh my God, that makes me feel so much better. You know, because every time I sponsor people and we get to 6 and 7, I feel like I'm bad. Like, I don't know what to do with them. I'm like, read 2 paragraphs. You know, and I'm like, eventually we'll get into the 12 and 12. You know, because that's the meat and potatoes separates men from the boy, or the whatever we separate ourselves. you know, but I remember, like, if I allow myself, I will, like, analysis paralysis will take over, and I'm like, oh my God, I'm not good enough still. You know, I didn't do this right. But my God loves me no matter what pair of pants I'm wearing, you know, no matter what bad words I may call people, if they hear me or not, you know, like, my God loves me, and I've learned that through AA. And I remember getting all kinds of wrapped up in these steps because, like, I'm like, oh my God, everything's going to be taken away from me. I've learned I'm a piece of crap, and there's not, like, I wasn't looking at the good stuff. I had not learned how to see my assets yet. And I mean, I was stuck on this. I was like, I am going to be absolutely nothing once this finally works. Once what all this mess has been removed, there's not going to be anything left, you know? And that's where I got. And that is not my experience with this. And I guess with the last paragraph, I'll share more on that. But I'm so grateful for old timers and my sponsors that can just, like, calm me down and be like, you know what, Leslie, you're okay. You know, you're doing better than you think you are, because I am my own worst enemy, and I get stuck up here so quick. But, man, these are powerful. So that's it. Mm.
All right, our final paragraph for the evening is on page 7-6. When ready, we say something like this. My Creator, I am now willing that you should have all of me, good and bad. I pray that you now remove from me every single defect of character which stands in the way of my usefulness to you and my fellows. Grant me strength as I go out from here to do your bidding. Amen. We have then completed step 7. Thanks.
That's it. So easy. I say this prayer. I try to say this prayer every morning. Some mornings I forget altogether to pray, and those days don't go that well, honestly. I do little humility experiments, I'll call them, where, you know, I just decide I forgot yesterday. The day went pretty well. I got through it. So I feel like I'm okay not to do it again today. And I'll be like, okay, the last couple of days went okay. I didn't drink. And, you know, I gave my sponsee some decent advice, and I feel like today will go fine too. And sooner or later, after maybe 4 or 5 days, like, I'm a freaking crazy person. And that is because basically of the crux of this prayer, which is like, I need a power greater than myself to take away all those things that block me from being useful to my fellows. And that used to really hang me up, because there's another part in the book that says, don't ever pray for yourself. You can only pray to be helpful to other people. And a lot of times, and especially in the beginning, all I could really pray for was, like, God, please help me just not feel like I'm gonna die right now. And I got really hung up on that, because I was like, well, that's just for me. I'm just asking to feel better. So I'm not supposed to do that. I'm not supposed to just pray for myself. And my sponsor pointed out, well, you're not really any use to anyone if you're, like, suicidal or drunk in your house, right? And I was like, no, that's probably true, yeah. And so, you know, that's how it became okay for me to say, like, God, please, like, help me to feel better, which can be translated into Big Book terms as, please relieve me of the bondage of self, right? That's what that is when I'm, like, so tied up in my feelings and my dread of whatever, of nothing, of just being conscious. That is what the bondage of self looks like for me. And so when I say this, when I'm actually working a decent program, which I have been lately, thank God. So I've been saying this every morning, and I change it a little bit. I put in today. Remove for me every single defective character which stands in the way of my usefulness to you and my fellows today, because that's one of the things that I really struggle with is getting ahead of myself. I have to work really, really, really hard to stay in today. And so I put that in there. Step 6 and 7, where I got sober in Washington, D.C. at the DuPont Circle Club. And they have a bunch of 6 and 7 meetings up there, which I always thought was really cool. Like, it's a whole meeting every week. They just talk about step 6 and 7, which is so cool because there really is so much in these tiny little steps in the book. And I did not realize that the first time I went through the steps because I worked it directly out of the big book. We didn't even crack open the 12 and 12 until I had worked all 12 steps out of the big book. And there's so much to these two steps that you just keep working every single day. And I love them. So thanks for letting me share.
Thanks, Maggie. So these two steps have me shook because they changed the wordage. Like, step 6 is like, you know, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Okay, defects of character. And then it says, humbly ask him to remove our shortcomings. I'm like, wait a minute, what are we talking about? I got a defect, I got a shortcoming, what else is wrong with me? I mean, I remember just swimming with this, whatever that means, but like, I was just all turned apart. Like, I didn't know what I was doing. I didn't know what I was supposed to be turning over anymore. Like, what are we doing? And I remember, like, I'm like this now. Can you imagine me, like, newly sober? Like, y'all are lucky. Just saying. Like, bless Elizabeth City's heart, you know? Like, love and tolerance was their code for me. And at least that's how I felt. And I remember being in a new meeting, just wrapped up about this, and I didn't understand it. And my old-timer lady from across the room, she just, like, leaned in and she went to go share. She didn't really crosstalk. She knew the rules. And but she looked right at me, and she was just like, he's not going to take anything away and give you something better. I was like, oh, that's lovely. All right, I'm fine. You know, and that's all it took. I was like, whew, I'm going to be okay. She said it. She's been sober for 42 years. You know, I believe her, you know. And, like, once again, like, literally, like, I got calm, you know, and I just, like, trusted you guys. That was a big thing for me, was to trust you. And, like, I remember coming to that higher power thing, too. Like, I just did not get this. And my sponsor was like, all right, can you be willing to be willing? I'm like, yep, I can, okay, I'll try that. You know, I'll take your higher power for a little while, too, you know. But, God, I'm, like, I am so grateful that that lady said that to me that day, you know, and I remember it like it was yesterday, because if that didn't happen, I would probably still be going in circles about these two steps. And, like, I don't have to do that today. I just, like, the real how of the program, the honesty, open-mindedness, and the willingness. Like, I don't know if that's how it came for me, but I know I was honest. Like, I just have that to a fault sometimes, and I'm sorry. Especially when it's projected on you and your inventory and not mine. But I still get this. I feel like I mix this prayer and the third step prayer up all the time, you know? But again, like, am I willing to do this? Am I willing to try something new? You know, like, for me, I think the longer that I stay sober, like, the things just start to work, you know, because I saw it on paper. And then when I actually do it again, I'm like, oh my God, I'm there I am, you know, page 4, right there in the middle. Let's not do that anymore, Leslie. Hey, Creator, like, help me, you know, like, that was the only prayer I had for a really long time. Help me, you know, God, I don't know, but I am grateful that I had people take me through the steps to give me their time, you know, because I had sponsors with kids and just, like, all kinds of commitments. And, you know, I feel like they would just rather do anything than help me. You know, they have a real life. but through being sober and staying sober and sponsoring other women, like, and I know I'm not that active right now with that, but that's okay. But like, that's what gives me life today, you know, is to see the light come on in somebody else, you know, and to have those little like God moments like throughout my day, throughout my sobriety, and to like have that connection with the higher power. Like when I go to pray this prayer, like I mean it, you know, like that's why I write God a letter. I can't get it out. Like I know it's got me, whatever it is. I know you guys got me. And that's a real gift from Alcoholics Anonymous. And I just want to thank this home group for asking my sponsor to speak and her not being able to come tonight to give me an opportunity to do this and to be up here with you, because I respect you and your program. And thank everybody for being here tonight, for helping me stay sober. So thanks for letting me share.
Thanks, Leslie.
Thanks, Leslie. All right, Seven Tradition states that every AA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions.
Is that one just in here? Let me go back.
The Seven Tradition is essential at every level of AA service. It's both a privilege and a responsibility for groups and members to ensure that not only their group, but also their intergroup, central office, local services, district, area, and general service office remain self-supporting. This keeps AA free of outside influences that might divert us from our primary purpose to help the alcoholic who still suffers. Our common welfare, a word about safety. Your safety is important. Calling the proper authorities does not go against any AA traditions and is recommended when someone may have broken the law or endangered the safety of another person. Our group endeavors to provide a safe meeting place for all attendees and encourages each person here to contribute to fostering a secure and welcoming environment in which our meeting can take place. Are there any announcements for the good of AA tonight?
Yeah, I got one.
All right.
If anybody wants some free food, come ride with me to Moyock tomorrow. There's an eating meeting, and you may have heard the speaker already, but there will be free food and some nice country folk in Moyock tomorrow. So
just are you speaking?
See me. Yeah, I am. I just want somebody to ride with me so I don't talk to myself the whole way. But yeah, see me after the meeting if you want details.
Cool. Anybody else? Simple Actions is a home group. If you're interested in joining our home group, please see one of us after the meeting, home group members. Newcomers, you are the reason we're here. Is there anybody here tonight in their first 30 days of sobriety? If we could, we'd just like to welcome you by first name. I'm feeling like three. No?
Three new.
Yay! Hey, Brian, welcome.
Yeah.
Anybody else? Right on. Literature is available. It's over there. If you'd like to purchase a book, please see a home group member after the meeting. Did we put it out? We sure did.
Oh, it's
we're so
out.
Good. Sponsorship in AA is yours for the asking. We urge you, do not delay. If you have questions or would like additional information about sponsorship, I will be at this table after we close the meeting. Please feel free to come talk to me. Reminders, smokers, please use the butt can provided and stay well away from the church doors. All meeting audio recordings and upcoming events are posted on our website, simpleactions.net. Could we please thank this wonderful panel for the... I'd like to thank everyone who participated tonight. After we clean up, all are invited and encouraged to continue the conversation on the steps discussed tonight at the meeting after the meeting, which will be held at Plaza del Sol on 22nd and Colonial. You know what I'm saying? All right. And could I have a volunteer to read the last two paragraphs on page 164?
Savannah, I'm an alcoholic.
Thank you, Savannah.
Savannah.
Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize that we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come. If your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is a great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God and you as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.
Amen. All right, let's circle up.
From evil, for thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever.